We're going to convene as a subcommittee here. Yeah, subcommittee of one.
Please, we're gonna, I want to send this to his mom and dad.
So we have one measure before us today, SEA 23, from Senator De Leon. Welcome, Senator.
Mr. Chair, I want to thank you very much, and I know we haven't established a quorum. This is a subcommittee of one, and I look forward, obviously, to our colleagues attending shortly thereafter. But I do want to thank you, Mr. Chair, and our members who are absent at this moment for the opportunity to present Senate Constitutional Amendment Number 23. As you all know, late last year in Congress, the congressional leaders from both legislative houses rushed through a grossly irresponsible tax plan that gives the wealthiest of Americans and corporations more than $1 trillion tax break at working families' expense. This, and not to be overly partisan, but this Republican tax scam deliberately targets Americans in blue states that quite simply didn't vote for Donald Trump. And it could cost Californians billions of dollars. In fact, the average California taxpayer takes advantage of what we call the SALT, the state and local tax exemption. The average exemption is roughly between $18,000 and $22,000. That is the average in their federal returns. That deduction now has been capped by this president and by both Paul Ryan as well as Mitch McConnell to $10,000. So we have a hard cap. We didn't have a cap at all. Now we have a hard cap, meaning that approximately 3 million California taxpayers will lose out on thousands of dollars of available deductions each year on their federal taxes. So my measure, which is not being heard today, which is already on the Assembly side, which you are supportive of, and I thank you, Senate Bill 227, is designed to ensure that Californians don't have to foot the bill for this egregious tax giveaway by giving them a charitable outlet that will help them to help our schools. Senate Bill 227 would create a fund that taxpayers can contribute to, which would, they would take an 85% tax credit on every dollar that they contribute. But I'm here to present, obviously, Senate Constitutional Amendment Number 23, which protects all of our educational funding formulas, making sure we meet all the funding requirements before administering this credit. Ultimately, it would benefit the state and its taxpayers if we offered a menu of charitable options so they can choose how they want to put their charitable giving to work. Taken together, this amendment is paired with 227, so they are enjoined together. And another measure, which is SB 539, will offer California taxpayers that menu of options, helping to cause to the cause of the choice. Now, I do know that quite consistently, we've had one voice of opposition, which will come up shortly. We've had, no doubt, a very constructive dialogue throughout. We're not exactly where they may want us to be right now, but we're working to the best of our ability to get there. SCA 23, we believe, makes the measure better for Prop 98 because it gives us the ironclad constitutional guarantees that there's no harm to 98. That is not the goal. And with any potential unintended consequence, that's why we're moving SCA 23 to make sure that Prop 98, and it was argued yesterday, I think rightfully so, that 98 should never be a ceiling, but rather be viewed as a floor. So obviously, as you move on forward with your career as a state senator representing your constituents, you'll have plenty of opportunity to make sure it's not a cap, but in fact, a floor. So with that, Mr. Chair, staff members, I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Do we have any witnesses in support today?
In support?
Seeing none, those in opposition? Good morning.
Good morning. Jennifer Baker with the California Teachers Association. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share our perspective on this constitutional amendment. And while we do agree with the overall philosophy of what Senator De Leon is trying to achieve to try to protect California taxpayers from what's been happening with the federal administration. We want to ensure that the future taxpayers of California don't pay a price for any changes that are made. So in the letter that we sent, we did have to note the areas where we disagree with not only SCA 23, but also SB 227, because they have been joined, which we do appreciate the fact that they have been joined, but there are some fundamental aspects that we still do disagree with. We think that this might be an issue where we agree to disagree, and we appreciate the fact that the Senator and his staff have been trying to work as collaboratively as possible. I still haven't had enough coffee yet this morning, but we don't think that there might be an ultimate path forward that would not do long-term harm to Prop 98 in California students. One of the aspects that has not been discussed as much but does need to be noted is the anticipated pushback from the federal government if this were to pass, and what would be that path forward if something were to happen and this would be struck down, or it would not happen in the ultimate way that it was intended to, what would be the ultimate impact to California schools and California school funding. So we do believe that not all the scenarios have been taken into consideration. We just want to make sure at the end of the day that Prop 98 and our kids' educational funding is not going to suffer. And so we do oppose the measure, and we encourage your no vote.
Thank you very much. Any others in opposition? Seeing none, take it back to the dais. I just, while we're here, you guys went through some of the deal points yesterday, and it sounded like you knocked off a few on the list, but then there were a few outstanding. Can you briefly just summarize for us sort of progress made yesterday? Because we're going to be if this bill moves through today, there will be amendments adopted in appraciations, I believe.
Amendments that were accepted and agreed upon in the Senate Education Committee for the logistical reasons. Obviously, we adopted them in today's committee. They were at the suggestion of the CTA. We wholeheartedly agree. I think there's five concerns from the CTA that knocks two of them off the table altogether.
Okay. So what's still outstanding?
The first issue is failing to reconcile SB 227's tax year basis with Prop 98's fiscal year basis. So they are I should note that they are primarily applicable to SB 227. Additionally, failure to constitutionally protect schools' right to supplemental sub-account funds. And then the overall aspect that I did mention is the failure to provide for what happens in the event that the IRS challenges the policy. So that would obviously be applicable to SEA 23 as well. And we do appreciate that two of the five have been addressed. And fortunately for us, each one of these aspects is a line on the sand. So unless they were all addressed, which we don't know if there's a path forward to do that, we would not be able to support the measures.
Senator, do you mind just responding in terms of this issue of the IRS guidance, just to indulge us? So just play that scenario out for us. I would assume they're going to come for us in some way.
That's a very good question. It's a little difficult to accurately ascertain if the Internal Revenue Service will actually come after this measure. It may be more bluster, but we don't know. It's very difficult. The reason why I say this is that we've already established this in the state of California. I have a measure, I don't remember the top of the number off the top of my head, that's been codified into law that allows taxpayers in California a tax credit that's not valued at 85%, such as this one, but valued at 50%, and that allows taxpayers to contribute to the our Cal Grants program, and that's a 50% tax credit. That is the law of the land of California. We worked very closely with the FTB, the Franchise Tax Board, so that is law of California. There are other states, primarily at the top of my head, Arizona, Alabama, Florida, that have a very similar tax credit scheme. Unfortunately, this is what we can, without a doubt, all of us, I think, agree to, is those dollars of any private citizen who wishes a tax credit are contributed to taxpayer-funded vouchers, secular or sectarian school. So in this case, the IRS would, it would be very, very difficult to thread that needle to say, we're going to come after California and this law, which we already have a law established with the 50% tax credit for Cal grants, and we're not going to undo Alabama, Florida, and Arizona in taxpayers, individual taxpayers, their ability to contribute to the state, receive a tax credit, and make that contribution to a private sectarian or secular school of their choice. It would be an incredible effort, obviously, at the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin in the White House, to go out of the way to egregiously direct the IRS to move forward on this. Interestingly, it's already been established, not just in California, but throughout the United States, in those specific states that I had just mentioned, where the IRS has not touched them at all. If they were actually to go out of their way to do this, this would be a complete double validation that they are, have the IRS now has politicized this process through a direction from the White House to come after California. We are here originally for the following reason. During the GOP tax scam in December, well, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, and this president. Obviously, the president had tried on numerous occasions to move forward. His agenda was unsuccessful. They needed some political win, and as a result, they were yet to secure one. They secured one finally in December, late December, rushing out this measure. It's very similar to what we have witnessed so far with regards to attempts to eviscerate the Clean Air Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act. As we know, one of your measures that had passed, which was a proactive, preemptive strike attempt to enshrine federal laws, in this case, federal properties, you know, Senate Bill 49. Lately, last week, the attempt to undo the California fuel efficiency standards that are national in scope that the President, Barack Obama, then in 2011, nationalized, then with your former boss, you know, then Senator Fran Pavley, the sanctuary state measure with litigation against the state of California, where, as you know, everyone knows, we just recently won in a 60-page legal memo from a U.S. federal judge that our law is, in fact, constitutional and the law of the land of California. So this sort of kind of like, whether it's immigrants, whether it's the air we breathe, whether it's federal lands, whether it's fuel efficiency standards, whether it's climate change, whether it's California taxpayers, this is a concerted effort to come after California in every which way imaginable. So this is the larger picture, and this is obviously the attempt. So going to the original question with regards to the IRS, it's hard for me to sort of ascertain. I wouldn't be shocked and surprised if they politicized the IRS and attempted to undo this. If, in fact, they do so, then they'll be met in a court of law through litigation. And to date, quite frankly, I like our track record, and I like our odds against this administration when it comes to a federal judge.
Thank you. Welcome. We still don't have a quorum. But thank you, Senator.
No quorum with Senator Leva.
We need one more. It's. We'll blame Allen. We'll blame Allen or Hertzberg.
That's Allen waddling.
Yeah, just coming in. Exactly, doing the walk.
Mr. Chair, if yes. You may take a point of personal privilege.
Please.
With us in the audience, we have
another pro tem.
We have the First Lady of the County of Kauai in the islands of Hawaii, Joy Kochi, who's with us here today, Joy. And we have the significant other who actually, you know, just a bum to ride, you know, on the plane to come over to California. We have the president pro tem, the leader of the Hawaiian State Senate, the Honorable Senator Ron Kauchi. So I just wanted to welcome them.
We're honored to have you here today. And thank you for bringing your lesser half here, Ms. County Supervisor.
Here we go, Ms. Leyva, Mr.
Yeah, did we have any other questions from the dais? Hey, well, while we're waiting for a quorum from CTA, any further comments in terms of this consequence? I mean, how do you, just from a technical perspective, how do you see it actually playing out if there is a ruling? Otherwise, I think the senator said we'll have to meet them in court. But have you looked at precedent on this kind of issue? I mean, I know that's not necessarily your sole concern here, but are there any others among this list of three left that you feel like there's daylight on that we can actually work through here? I know there were, yeah.
Well, if I could note, and I appreciate Senator's reference to current law in regard to tax credits for Cal Grants, I did want to note that we've also opposed providing tax credits as well, because every time you're passing tax credits, that's less revenue that goes into Prop 98. So we have had, I would call them philosophical fiscal differences on what the legislature believes what's best for the fiscal state of California. We look at it in the microcosm of education. And so through that lens, we try to anticipate anything that might be a long-term systemic fiscal threat to the state of education. And so this is why we've often had to have complicated discussions on this, and then I'm soon going to have another complicated discussion on Assemblymember Burke's bill across the hall. This is not going to be our biggest expertise with the IRS, but we are encouraged by our state's track record on what has been happening. But as you all know, we live in a very chaotic state of political affairs. And so while you can be successful, it doesn't mean that there still couldn't be harm or long-term damage done. We want to ensure that if there is harm, it's not our children's fiscal security when it comes to maintaining an education, because we're just now getting to a point, even with this year's budget, which I have to say thank you very much, we're very appreciative for what has happened in this year's budget, we're still in the mid-40s when it comes to overall funding. And so any little chip that slowly whittles that away, whittles away long-term opportunities for our students to be academically successful. So that's the nuance in which we approach all of these issues. So we do appreciate the monumental task that you and Senator De Leon do have to try to look at some of the more macro issues. It still doesn't mean that we're all going to be able to agree when it comes to some of the micro issues. This is what we believe are one of those issues where we may have to fundamentally disagree. Even though we appreciate and understand the approach, it just might be something that we might be not be able to wrap our hands around at the end of the day.
Understood. Thank you. We do have a quorum now, so let's establish that. Secretary, would you mind calling the roll?
Stern.
Here.
Stern here. Anderson. Allen.
Here.
Allen here. Hertzberg. Leyva.
Here.
Leyva here.
Members, did you all have any comments or questions from the dais? We've gone through opening and opposition.
And I had the opportunity to hear this committee yesterday.
Right.
We were all together in education. It's my opinion that this SCA is moving us in an important direction toward protecting educational funding within the context of what the pro tem and many of us are trying to do, which is to mitigate the really punitive impacts and the petty impact of the federal tax law on California taxpayers. And so I certainly support this. I know they've got a good working relationship, are going to continue to work out differences to make sure that we can protect K-12 funding. That's a priority for everybody involved. But I think this is an important step toward facilitating the passage and implementation of SB 227 successfully. We don't know what's going to happen at the federal level, but I do know that we've been working very closely with a number of law professors to ensure that the law is written in such a way that if the IRS does want to throw out our idea, that would then implicate a whole slew of very popular tax rebates and credits from all over the country. And so with that, I'm certainly going to support this. I'll move it when appropriate.
We can entertain a motion.
I'll take that as my close.
As your close, accept that as a motion. Senator Leyva, any comments before we proceed here? Okay. Motion from Senator Allen is be adopted and referred to Senate Appropriations Committee. Close has been accepted. Please call the roll.
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson? Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg? Leyva?
All right, very good. We will leave that measure on call. Thank you so much for your indulgence. Thank you for your time.
Hertzy?
Hertz, LA.
Dean Anderson.
We can make that hard, convincing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's basically been a series of
Yes, say.
Three on call, we will open the rolls. Secretary, please call the absent members.
Motion is to be adopted and referred to Senate Appropriations Committee. Current vote is two ayes, no noes, with the chair voting aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye.
All right, we have 3-0. Thank you. And with that, we will adjourn.